Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show. I am passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and on today's show, we are going to talk about how to define ambition for yourself. And I'm so excited to introduce my guest today, Mary Lyons. Mary helps clients optimize their retirement income by using the financial strategies and products that are right for their unique circumstances. She's top 1% in the industry nationwide. Welcome to the show, the wealth woman, Mary Lyons.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to have you. This is a long time coming. We should have done this forever ago, and I'm sure we're going to do it again. So thanks for being here. Well, Mary, one of the ways that I've been really inspired by you is in our conversations. You are like a breath of fresh air, and you ask me questions that no one else is asking me. So I would love for you first to just share a little bit about your approach to planning for retirement.
Sure. I'd love to do that. It's my favorite thing to talk about. Yeah, I'm actually really jaded about the financial services industry as a whole, whether it's the investment side or the insurance side. I just really feel like there's a lot of advice out there that is designed to kind of keep us in our place. And by that, I mean, you know, the most commonly recommended strategies really focus on minimize your lifestyle, save more money, you know, get in that budget, count all your pennies, and then defer gratification because you got to save the money. And then eventually one day when you're old and tired, you get to retire. And then supposedly you're supposed to live this dream life, except then you go visit your financial advisor and they tell you, no, you can't spend that much or you're going to run out. And so you kind of automatically push yourself into this world of scarcity and deprivation where you're looking at minimizing your experience while you're here on the planet because the strategies you're pursuing are not particularly efficient. And I think I have talked to enough people over the almost 20 years that I have been doing this that, you know, work really hard for their money. And they just are asking, is there something better than this? And so we actually really focus on helping you understand that money is just a tool and it is meant to help you build your dream life. And if you aren't excited every time you're talking about money, something is wrong and the conversation needs to change. So we really focus on, okay, what is your dream life? Because if we don't know what that is, I don't know how we're supposed to help you build it. And then we're going to look at how you can take whatever it is that you have to save and invest and grow and have it produce more for you. Because if it's producing more, that means either you'll have more money when you retire, you could retire sooner, or maybe you're saving too much money and you should be enjoying more of that money today. And you still might be able to be at full income replacement when you retire. So it is a very fresh take on what you should be doing with your money, but one that at least for me, as I apply it to my own life, has changed the cadence of my experience. It makes life more exciting when the money is actually building something that's fulfilling.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all see what I mean? Like breath of fresh air. Like I've talked to so many people in different spaces dealing with how to build wealth, how to do retirement. And so much of it is about that scrimp, that save, that scarcity. And I love that you get creative about it too, that it's not just this is the one way, this is the one path, and that you're more holistic. And you said, well, tell me what you're doing right now. And like, let's come up with creative things that complement that, mm-hmm. that idea or that how we can maximize on what you're already doing. And I feel like so many financial or wealth advisors or people giving advice are so jaded they're so in the box that they're in that there's mm-hmm. not opportunity to look at like what else can we do that is actually going to build the life that you really want versus just following some kind of prescribed path that honestly does not work for everyone and works for very few people, right? Well,
and I learned that really early in my career, Andrea, because I can remember sitting down with a client who had already done a phenomenal job. They were headed to about $180,000 of income when they retired, and they were already working with an advisor, and they only ended up in my office because one of their friends was like, you got to go see her. Enough that they told me when they came in, they're like, we're only here because he won't stop talking about you. And he said he would leave us alone if we took a meeting. And I'm like, awesome. First of all, that is like a deep level of excitement about how your life is changing if you're being that aggressive with your friends about going to talk to somebody like me. So I was like, I've done a good job there.
Yeah.
And so I went through and I took everything. And I said, don't save any more money. Don't work any harder. Don't take any more risk. And we were able to increase their income to about 330 at retirement with the plan strategy that we did. And so I was delighted. I walked into that meeting and I was like, oh man, I'm going to kill it. I'm so excited. They're going to be so excited. And they like leaned back from the table and they were like, yeah, that doesn't really motivate us. And so my first question was, is that a not enough of an increase, like an extra $150,000 a year is not enough for you? And they were like, no, that's not the problem. And so then I'm like, well, is it that you don't believe the math is real? And they're like, oh no, we're both engineers. We've done all the math along with you on spreadsheets at our house just to double check you. And I'm like, okay, good. So you believe it's real. And they're like, yeah, it just, we don't spend that kind of money now. We don't see ourselves spending that kind of money in the future. And so I asked them because I'm super nosy. I'm like, if you won the lottery and the payout rate was an extra $150,000 a year, would you turn it down? And they said, no, we'd absolutely take the money. And I said, how is this different? And the response was, it just is. And so then and my insecurity started creeping into the conversation. And so I was like, is it me? Is it me? Am I the problem? Do you need to talk to a different advisor? I'll hand you off to somebody else in my office if I'm the issue. And they were like, no, you're fine. I'm like, oh, that's an endorsement, right? And so I asked them, I said, why are you saving so much money if you don't care about having more income? And the response changed my approach forever because what they said was, we really hate our jobs. We just want to quit as soon as possible. And so I said, don't leave. Hold on. I'm going to do a bunch of math on the fly and I'm banging it out on my calculator. And this will tell you how long it is from when this happened. They're on their Blackberries. Yeah. And I bang out the math real quick while they're sitting there. And it turns out they can retire 10 years earlier on these strategies with that same 180 of income. And they were like, dang, that's it. That's what we were looking for. And they've been clients ever since. And so, you know, what's really interesting is when it came time to retire, they kept working because it was a choice. And they were like, no, we're fine working. Now we're having a good time because whenever their boss would come into the office and be like, we need you to take on this responsibility, they'd be like, no,
we don't need this job.
Yeah. And so they're, and what's interesting is they've both been promoted into leadership roles now. The life is totally different. But, you know, I think that's just it. And it's about understanding what you really want and then building that plan. And if I don't, as an advisor, take the time to get to know what you really want from your life, how am I supposed to help you build it?
Yeah.
And that I think is part of the problem with the whole industry is it's just, here's some math on paper, take it or leave it. Instead of how do we customize something that's bespoke for the way you want to live and the experience you want to have? Because so many of us get stuck, I think, and we've talked about this in our own conversations. So many of us get stuck like running on this treadmill, doing all the things that we think we're supposed to do so that either we look successful or like this is what you do as an adult and this is how you behave responsibly. And you move further and further away from your dream life. And then you just realize this isn't what I wanted. It's the reason the words midlife crisis exist. That's happening for a reason. And
yeah.
It's because we have this definition of ambition that we think is what we're supposed to do when what we really want in our heart of hearts is something totally different.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the most challenging things. And this is why I love talking to you because you always challenge me in this way to really reflect with myself. What do I really want? And I love your process. When you're getting started with working with someone new, you ask the best questions. And I would love to be able to give our listeners some insight into like, how do you get to clarity about what you really want? Because I think especially as women entrepreneurs that we are making sure everybody around us is taken care of and happy and we ask everyone else, How can I help you? What do you need? What do you want? And we're more worried about taking care of everybody else around us than we are about really getting in tune or in touch with what do I really want. So let's talk about that. How do we help people to get to, like, how do you get to clarity about what you want if you're not in the habit of even thinking about it?
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to tell a little bit of a personal story just to go alongside of this, because everything that we do is kind of born from my own experience, right? And then taking other people's experiences and figuring out, okay, how can I help you? And there have been a lot of phenomenal people in my life that have stepped in and asked the right questions for me. And so half the questions that I might ask you aren't mine to begin with. I've just repeated something that somebody else said, and I luckily get all the credit for it, right? But, I found that for the first 10 years of my career, I actually worked with my dad. And what happens when you work with a parent, and some of the people on this call may have had this experience, is that in some ways you never really become an adult, because there's always a parent-child dynamic that shows up even in the workplace. And so I found when it was convenient, we were parent-child. And when it was inconvenient, right, then we were employer-employee. Yeah. And it really just ended up me being in a situation where everything I did, I was doing to make my dad proud of me. And I think there's a lot of us that behave that way, even if we aren't working with our parents, right? We want our parents to be proud of what we've grown into, or we want our neighbors maybe to look at us and be like, dang, she's a badass. There's these things about our image that I think start to creep in. And so when my dad retired and we weren't having the conversations that were directing my everyday activity, all of a sudden I realized I have no idea what I want. Because I had worked for 10 years into a path of taking over his firm. And when we got to the point where he was going to retire and it was going to be mine, I remember having a conversation with my husband who said, this is everything you've worked for in the past 10 years. These are the late nights. This is the time away from our kids. It's all the things you've done. And now that you have it, you just look sad. And I realized it just felt heavy because I had worked towards my dad's dream for me, as opposed to understanding what my own dream was. And I think in various different ways, we all end up that way. I've talked to women that are doing certain things because they want a certain lifestyle for their family, but it's killing them to actually work the hours that they're working. Or, you know, I've talked to men that, like, this used to be fun. And I was, you know, every time I won a new client, I'd be excited. And now the prize for winning the pie eating contest is just more pie, right?
Yeah.
On, and it's just more stuff I got to force myself to do. And so there just comes a point in time where you're like, is this it? Like, you've got the income, you've got the car, you live in the right neighborhood, wherever you may be, right? And I use right in air quotes, but you just find yourself being like, is this it? Is this all I get from my life? And when I hit that point and I realized, oh my gosh, this is where I am right now, I thought I would feel differently when I got here. That's when I started asking other questions. And I had a business coach who asked me, what do you want from your life? And everything I wrote down was a business goal or a financial goal. And she looked at me and she said, that's not what I asked you. What do you want from your life? And I'm like, my life's fine. And she's like, pause. It's clearly not, if that's the conversation we're having. So think about this. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I started thinking about it and I couldn't stop thinking about it, but I had no way to figure out what I wanted because I hadn't been self-directed, right? And I think this happens regardless of whether you work with a parent, because, you know, you scroll through social media and all these things you wouldn't care about if you weren't on social media suddenly matter to you. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, am I wearing the right outfit? Did I do my hair the right way for the podcast? Did I, you know, all these things that maybe you don't really care about at all. But the thing about desire is that it's mimetic. We mimic our model. So we find a model and we think, if I do these things, I'm going to feel or have the life or look where it is. It's why we're susceptible to advertising. It's why we have the rise of the influencer on social media, is that we're all looking for something different. And so our desires are shaped externally, instead of going deep internally to figure out what's actually going to create fulfillment for us. So I started asking this woman, I'm like, how do I figure it out? And she's like, well, actually, I don't know either, because I'm kind of in the same boat as you. So I asked, that helpful. And so then I actually started looking for a mindset coach, and I hired a gentleman who was real focused on that. And he asked me to do an exercise that took me more than 6 months to complete. He said, write down what you want and why you want it. And every time you come in, I'm going to ask you, why do you want it? And if it's a superficial answer, I'm going to tell you that doesn't work. You're not deep enough. Go to the next one. Mm. And so every time I came in, I'm like, well, I want this. And he'd say, why? And I'm like, this reason. And he'd be like, that's dumb. Try again. And he was much nicer about it than that. But after about 6 months, I had a list that were things that really mattered to me. Yeah. And when I looked through the list, the commonality for every single thing on that list was it gave me a sense of peace, because wow, I run at a really fast pace and I have this very frenetic life, and it is devoted to making other people happy, right? That's what yep. I do. It's how do you get your dream life? Not what are you giving to me so I have mine, right? It's,
yep.
it's that sort of thing. And so figuring that out was really hard. But if the commonality was peace, and I love my frenetic life, I was like, ah, this is what's missing from my yeah. current life, is that sense of, ooh, I can just come down just a little bit. And so then I was like, okay, now I'm a little closer. And then you fast forward a little bit longer, I had joined an investment group that had a speaker who had written a book that came in, and they did a workshop that helped you identify, like, where did you want to travel? And, you know, what did you want to do in your career? And it was the first time I got that granular. And just the fact that somebody gave me categories.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
But half the stuff I put on there, I don't want. Like the biggest list that I had was all travel. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't like to travel. I am a weirdo. I like to go to the same location all the time where uh-huh. I know where everything is and decompress. And I like to be in nature, and I like my family and my dogs to be near me. If yeah. I have to deal with the logistics of a fast-paced vacation in a big city and jumping trains and getting a car and like flights, that just stresses me out more. And then I need a vacation for my vacation. But it took me doing the travel to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But I think, like, kind of to the point is that we tend to think in terms of, I got to do this and I got to be successful and I got to perform at this really high level, as opposed to asking ourselves kind of two pieces of this. Where do I derive a sense of purpose? And where do I get my sense of enjoyment?
Mm.
Because if you have all enjoyment all the time, that's hedonism. You're not actually happy at an yeah. internal level. And if you have all purpose, but you're all work and no play because you aren't doing anything for enjoyment, life is pretty dull, because every time you hit an accomplishment, you get to celebrate it. But then there's the pressure that you feel for the next accomplishment, right? Yeah. Or the sense of, okay, well, now I've done that. What in my life is going to compare to that again, right? Mm-hmm. I won a gold medal. I didn't win a gold medal, but if I won a gold medal, like, my health declines, I lose the ability to compete in my 40s, maybe the way I did in my 20s. And so if it's all purpose all the time, you go through these like crazy peaks and valleys, where if you've had a purpose and then you reach it, then you have to find a new purpose. And in that in between, you just feel lost. So yeah. that sense of purpose and enjoyment, I think, is what creates real fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's yeah, that's so powerful. And, you know, it's so interesting, because whenever I've gone through an exercise to write down, what do I want my life to look like? And we, you know, that's something that I prescribe to too, is that thinking in categories. And what's always been really eye-opening to me is that I will write down something like, what do I want a day in the life to look like? Someday, when I'm successful, when I'm retired, whatever the thing is, like, wow, what will I do with my time? What do I want life to look like? And when I write it down, I realize that so many things that I write down that, like, I'm waiting to do, uh-huh. I'm waiting to experience, are things I could actually start doing right now. And yeah, so if we, you know, that exercise that you did to identify where you got to the end of it and you were like, oh, peace is what I'm looking for. Peace is what I'm missing. And I believe that peace attracts peace. And so what are the things that we can do right now in our life today that attracts, that creates the feeling that we want, and that that will attract more of what we want? Because it's, I talk to so many women entrepreneurs and investors and people who are just like in the hustle, in the grind. And they say that they're doing it because they want peace. And I'm like, how very interesting is that?
Further away from
are we actually creating what we desire? Are we actually pushing it away because of the energy that we're bringing to the exercise of trying to hustle and grind? And I'm going to hustle and grind, and then someday I'm going to get to have peace. But looking for like, what can I do in my life today that actually will become the attractor of what I want in the future?
So I get more of it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you're trying to identify your dream life, but what you're actually doing is a bucket list of things you're going to do in the future, nothing changes about your experience right now.
Right.
Right. It's all, I'm going to feel a certain way in the future. I'm going to do things in the future. And the future is uncertain. And that's a weird thing probably for an advisor to say, right? The future is uncertain, but I will tell you, like, the only certainty is change. So get ready for it. But I think the journey we have along the way is as much a part of it. And I would describe myself, Andrea, as a very ambitious woman.
Yes.
And I think you would say the same. And I think probably a lot of your listeners identify with that, even though ambition for women sometimes has a bad connotation. But what I would say has changed for me in my life, and it's what I like to share with my clients, is that ambition can be living the truest version of you that you can. And so if you don't know what your dream life looks like, I don't know how you're supposed to make deliberate and intentional choices to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I realized, is that the reason I was unhappy is I was letting everybody else define my scorecard. How do I know if I'm winning, right? How do I know I'm doing it the right way? Well, that was, okay, success looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I realized is I don't like looking like that. I like getting dolled up with the rest of them, right? But I can't stand being in the rooms with people who are like, what do you have to offer me? And then I'll decide if I get to know you. And, oh, I have this fancy thing. And like, my watch costs more than your car. I'm like, well, good for you. If that really makes you feel happy inside, go for it.
Right.
It's just that you're hoping I have a reaction that then validates your ego. Like, I can't. Like, I'm gonna go to my lake where I actually feel good, as opposed to just being some kind of weird mirror for you, right? It's like a funhouse mirror. But you know, I think you get to the place where the more fulfilled you are inside, the easier it is for you to also help the people around you do that. And as a mother, I think part of what changed for me is I realized that these patterns that I have were going to get passed on to my daughter. And she was going to end up in a position where, yeah, she worked her butt off, but did she find fulfillment? And so I think the way kids learn is also by watching models, just like we do, only we're the models. Yeah. And I realized that all of this sort of neglecting myself and only thinking about other people was going to teach her to do the same. And it actually got me to the place where I realized that I have a moral imperative to live my dream life if I want my children to also find fulfillment and live theirs.
Ooh, that's so powerful. 100%. 100%. There's a joke in my household when my older daughters were growing up, and they would, like, whenever we were talking about something that, and they would notice an entrepreneurial opportunity, because I'm that's where my brain was at for, you know, it's always where my go-to. And they would say in this little voice, they would say, have you ever thought about being an entrepreneur? And that was kind of the joke, because they were like, Mom, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. And when they were growing up, I was truly a workaholic. I was truly in the hustle, in the grind, you know, building something bigger and bigger to just be able to say, like, oh, I've got 30 team members, and we've renovated this huge building, and that's where we do business, and we're the coolest kids in town, and like, we host big parties at our office and stuff like that. And my kids were like, I don't want any part of that. Right. And so it wasn't until I shifted my mindset and how we go about doing business, and what really became focused on less of what is the image and more about like what is the what's really important and what creates fulfillment. And now my girls come to me and they're in their early 20s and they come to me and they're like, Mom, I have this business idea. Can I bounce this off you? And I'm like, oh, we got something, like we're doing something right now, because it used to be like the joke and the thing that they resisted. And I think it's because they were seeing that behavior and that pattern in me and said, I don't want any part of that. Yeah. And so now to be in a place of peace and full, you know, fulfillment and having more of the freedom that we're looking for, now entrepreneurship is attractive in our house.
Well, here's the thing, and I have noticed this because I kind of stalk you on social media, as I'm sure many of your listeners do as well, right? Is that you practice what you preach, because from our conversations, one of the things that creates the most fulfillment with you, and it's true to the story you just said, right, is being able to spend that time with your family. It's about the experiences and the memories that you're creating together. And I get to see you take amazing trips, right? Like I know that's on your list somewhere as the travel. And you go to these amazing places with the people that you care about the most, and you have these amazing experiences together. And so like, that's it. Like you're already living it, right? Yeah. And you're finding the opportunities to do that. And then when you think about what happens with the work, you get with the clarity and all the conversations that you're having with the people in your lives that you're helping and serving professionally too, is that you're teaching them to get that same clarity so that they can find that same fulfillment. And I just like, I love talking to you, because every time we talk, I'm like, man, we are changing the world, like one human at a time. Yeah. And people's lives better, and they're getting closer to their dreams, and they're getting closer to the fulfillment. And whether that's like shaping mindset, which is really, I think, way more important than anything I can do, because if the mindset is not right, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And that's the piece that I think you're so good at. And then I get to come along behind it and be like, here's the financial strategy that makes all these things actually possible, right? But yeah. You have to know what you want, or else you're reacting to the things happening in your life instead of intentionally building something that you want, that you wake up every morning and you're like, I can't wait to get out of bed today. And everybody has ups and downs and bad days. But here's really the cool thing about when you have a bad day. If you do what we teach with the building your dream life, and you actually calendar out a dream that you're going to realize every month, big or small, then you have a dream that you're coming off of that you're always excited to share with the people.
Yeah.
And you have a dream that you're looking forward to. And so it changes the cadence of your life. And when you do have a bad day and you pull up your dreams list and you look, oh, I've been doing this for over 3 years. So there's a dream, at least one for every month that's occurred. It's impossible to be in a bad mood when you relive the memories of each dream that you realized and how you felt in those moments. Like you come off of that and you're like, oh, this is good. What's next?
Yeah. I love that approach. And you know, when you shared that kind of concept with me when we first started talking a couple of years ago, it really challenged me. And I don't know if you've noticed how much I've started traveling and like doing fun things since our first conversation. And part of that is just like,
girl, you worked for every bit of that.
Well, I appreciate that. But I think it also like, you also just caused me to start thinking differently about that, you know. And, you know, when Josiah and I got married, we always talked about, we value experiences over stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we got into a place of really high levels of responsibility and building something that felt like it was, you know, like we were, you know, we felt like we were building the dream. And then pretty soon it felt like we were building a nightmare. And we were like, what have we done? We've created a monster that we can't keep up with, or that is just really
more pie.
More pie. Yeah. Like we won the pie eating contest and the prize was more pie. Like, my goodness, it won't stop. And so, we, you know, when, after some conversations with you, I feel like we got back into alignment with who we wanted to show up as and what we really wanted our life to look like, because we had sold a business and then got into a new business and we found ourselves in the same pattern, building a monster that was continually needing to be fed. And so just like the shifting of the mindset to get back to a place like where we're centered around what we really want our life to look like, and to allow that to be the priority, as opposed to, you know, Because, you know, I think part of it was like I was raised by a high achieving, results focused father as well, and worked with him for a decade. Just like our stories have so many parallels. But I think I got into a results mindset of like, what are the numbers, the metrics that I can report? And, right. you know, in my business, it was in our branding agency and film production company, it was like, how many clients can we serve? How many team members can we have? Like, what are those metrics that like, what's the biggest, you know, deals we can do or sales we can do? And then we sold that. And I was like, oh, we're going to get back to like a place. And then it was like, how many houses can we buy? How quickly to be, you know, to have numbers, to put numbers up on a board that I don't even know that it doesn't, it's like an imaginary board that where we measure our fulfillment or our success. And it, you know, and it's just such an illusion. And so getting to the recognition again of like, oh, we're doing that thing again. We need to watch that and look for what do we actually really want our life to look like.
Well, and I think that's where things like efficiencies come in. So I'm going to tie this to finances for just a second, because I see that happen a lot, especially in real estate communities, mm-hmm. but really kind of everywhere. It's that sort of ingrained hustle culture that has been, like we've been given that over and over and over again, especially in the entrepreneurial space, is that we think we have to do everything and we have to do it right now.
Yeah.
And so we end up like a duck on the front, like we're presenting this, like, oh, I'm just gliding along. And then underneath the water, we're like, oh my gosh, I just have to keep paddling, you know, as fast as I can. And so it's exhausting. It is exhausting when we do that. And yet we don't even feel like we can stop to take a breath, because if we do, the whole thing falls apart. When you start adding in efficiencies to what you're doing with your money, you can slow it way down and you can get a lot further. And so, like, I think we have this sort of condition of, I have to be exhausting myself or I'm not moving forward, when really we should not be working so much harder. We should start being smarter. And I know that's totally cliche, but I'm going to say it anyways, because you don't have to take crazy amounts of risk and you don't have to just redline the car to get where you want to go. You can find ways to add in efficiency that'll create 30 to 70% more income over time, or to like supercharge what you're doing in a way that each dollar is creating multiple benefits instead of just the one. And when you start doing that, you can take a step back and you can be like, okay, I'm headed for the same place, but it's a lot less work to get there. And that space is where you can start to say, what do I actually want? Right? What do I actually want to be doing with my time? What do I want my relationships to look like? I mean, I think when it comes to ambition, when I think about ambition now, because I actually got to give a talk to a group of about 500 female CEOs about the definition of ambition. And when I look at it now, what I think ambition is, or what we should all like start looking at, and the word should is weird, so maybe I need to find different language there. But for me, ambition is knowing what my dream life is and working tirelessly to get that.
Yeah. Right.
That's the thing, because when you're actually living out a life that's exciting to you, the work stops feeling like work, because you're doing things that are fulfilling. And there's always things you have to do that you just have to do because you're a grown up, right? Like cable goes out, you have to call to get internet put back in your house. But the bulk of our activity should be focused on, okay, where is fulfillment? And fulfillment is found in that balance of purpose and pleasure. And if we don't know what makes us truly happy, then we end up with these sort of thin desires, things that we think will make us happy because we saw it on TV or our friend did it, as opposed to, like, I know what really makes me happy. And it's being at my lake house with no makeup on, right? Sitting on the porch, watching my dogs run around, watching my kids run around, having coffee and a conversation with my husband. Right? That's it. It's really simple. And I really, like, I'm the girl that pictured myself growing up as like, I'm going to a gala every weekend and I'm wearing the designer clothes. And I did that for a while and I was like, this sucks. Right? If you love it, go do it. Right? Like, I'm not judging it. If it makes you happy, go do it. But I just found that isn't what makes me happy. And so start asking yourself, like, where are those moments where you feel the most you? And then do the things to get you closer to that. And it's, you know, we start our lives being told you can do anything you want to do. I know you've had those conversations with your kids, right? Especially being an entrepreneur. You're like, you can build whatever you want.
Yeah.
But as we get older, well-meaning people tell us the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Don't have that major when you go to college because you won't get a high-paying job. Go to law school because you'll make more money, right? Go live in this neighborhood because that's where you should be living. And then you find yourself just moving further and further away from your dreams. But then you have all these obligations to maintain a lifestyle. And that lifestyle may be really comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not discounting that. It may be really comfortable, but you can be comfortable and unfulfilled at the same time. You can be comfortable and in a rut. So this is about pulling yourself out of that and finding, I mean, you think about it. We watch our kids. My kids are 12 and 9 right now. They're about to have birthdays. So I had to really think about it. The joy they take on all of these new experiences. I'm like, that's part of what did it for me. I'm like, I don't feel like that every day. Yeah. I'm not like, whoa, what are we doing today when I wake up? And that's why I was like, I can have that back. I'm pretty sure I can have that back. It's just getting back to dreaming. It's getting back to believing it's possible. And then it's giving yourself a roadmap to get there. Because I think some people might be listening right now and thinking, what's the point of dreaming? I can't have that anyway.
Yeah.
And I get that sometimes. But here's the thing. If you're working with somebody that can help you see what's possible when you can't, then you can actually get there, because most of our limits are self-imposed. And sometimes it takes somebody like an Andrea to be like, well, no, there's an easy way for you to do this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it, is that we don't know what we don't know. And sometimes it takes somebody outside of us to say, hey, wait, I can help you get clarity. I can help you make the right connections. You can do this, right? It just sometimes takes one person believing in us, and then we believe in ourselves too.
Oh, this is so good. Yeah, absolutely. I'm reflecting on conversations that I've been having with so many women over the past couple of weeks, even, who are just feeling stuck and feel like they don't even want to talk about what they really want, because they just feel like, well, if I say something out loud, then all it means is that I'm going to have to work even harder, and I'm so tired, or I just like I'm running out of juice here. So, and then we talk about it, and I'm like, well, have you thought about this? Or like, what if we went this direction? And I know you have those experiences all the time, because you have that specialized knowledge in the things that you help people with that that help us to go from where we are today to where we really want to be, and smarter, not harder, right? But in a way that is so much easier than we know, because we don't have the knowledge before. Like you have to reach out to someone who knows what you don't know in order to do the thing that you feel like you can't do. And, right. and that can, and I call it borrowing confidence. Mm-hmm. When you work with someone who, you may not know everything you need to know, and you may not even have a like belief yet that it is possible, but then you meet someone who has done it before and helped multiple other people to do the same, and you borrow confidence, because it's like, well, I may not know all the answers, I don't know all the steps, but I'm going to trust that they have a way, and that they can help me to see what I cannot see today. And that's why it's so important that that people reach out to someone like you that that knows what not. It's like the things that you share when, you know, in our conversations are not the typical stuff. Like, cause in fact, most wealth advisors or people that are working with people to build retirement, like they're telling us the opposite, like they're actually telling us like something totally different. And so I appreciate so much your perspective that you bring to conversations, and that refreshing, because a lot of them tell us what we can't do. And you're like, tell us what you want. Like, let's talk about what you really want. Let's go. Yeah.
So somebody earlier today called me the anti-guru. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that so much. You know, because there's so many people saying you have to do it a certain way. And there is no one path when it comes down to it. And the life that you want, and the life I want, and the life that somebody listening wants, those are all three different things. There's different paths to get there. And I think respecting that we are all individuals and have different wants matters. There's a really good book by Dan Sullivan called Who Not How, which I think hits very much on what you're talking about. You don't have to know how you're going to do it if you find the right who to help you, because they'll have the knowledge you need to get you to the next step. And that's, I mean, like, that's why I love having our conversations, Andrea, is that I always come away from them with new ideas and new perspective on the things that I'm going through. And that like, when people can hold up kind of a, not a mirror, like it's the ability to be able to say, have you thought about this other thing? And it's such a change in perspective. When you change your perspective, what you see changes, right? And I know that sounds really silly, but if you think about it, think about where you're sitting right now while you're listening to this. You have one view in front of you. If you turn around and look the other direction, what you see is radically different. And it was there the whole time, but you couldn't see it before. And so that person who's sitting there saying, have you looked at it from this perspective, completely changes the possibilities that are open to you. And if you don't know what's behind you, it's not there, right? It might as well not be there if you don't know it's there, but the right person can help you see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I recommend that book all the time. What is another book or a book that you would recommend to someone who is wanting to get to clarity, wanting to define ambition for themselves? What's another book that you would recommend?
Yeah, actually, I have one right here. It's funny because I did not know you were going to ask me this, but I keep this book on my desk because it's really, really helpful. It's a book called Wanting. Awesome. And it is by Luke Burgess. And I'll just read you, Adam Grant wrote like a little blurb on the end, and I think it very much reflects what the book says. It says, this book makes a startling case that many of our goals are merely reflections of what we think others want. It's a spellbinding read, and it will leave you rethinking your own motivations for months and maybe even years. And that was definitely the case when I read this book. I had a lot of aha moments about what I thought I wanted versus what I actually want. And then I'm just going to show you this because I didn't even realize it was there. My daughter likes to leave me little notes on the back of this. I don't know if you could read it. It says, you can do it. Smile, breathe, and remember I love you.
With a little- oh, that's so beautiful. I'm going to show you my post-it from my daughter. It, look at this one. It says, you're exceptional.
I love it.
Isn't that good stuff? You're doing something right, Mary. I love it.
Yeah, that book I think is really good because it helps us understand how the things that we are exposing ourselves to influence what we want. And I can give an easy example of this. If you had asked me a year ago what a Stanley cup is, I couldn't have told you. Like, it's not there. But literally everybody in my neighborhood has a Stanley and they carry it around. Like, all the moms have it. Their daughters have it. They take it to school. And at first I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Ugh, I'm not going to be a Stanley person. I'm not going to carry that, right? Which is its own version. Like, I'm rejecting the models that are showing up. Oh, yeah, I own like 4 Stanley cups now. So, you know, and I'm like obsessed with Stanley memes. Like, there was one I just watched and it was a woman that was like, it's not just a cup. It's a big cup. And I'm like, this is literally, it's just a cup, right? But there's a weird obsession about it and everybody's carrying it and it's like a trend or whatever it is. I will say it does keep the water nicely cold and Stanley is not paying me to say that, but I never, that wouldn't have been on my radar. That's not a thing I thought I wanted. And then I got one and now I have 4 because after I had one, I'm like, I need one for every outfit. It needs to match my fingernails, whatever it may be. but I wouldn't have ever thought of that if it weren't for somebody else's influence. And so do I really need a Stanley? No. Does it make me any happier in my daily life? No. It's not like I drink from it and I'm like, oh, happiness. It's just a cup. It is just a big cup. But that's how other people influence what we want. And I think when we can get really honest with ourselves, if we ask ourselves, why do I want this? The purpose of asking ourselves, why do I want this, is not so that we can justify it to other people, because you want what you want and you don't have to justify it to anyone. It's so that we understand, is this something I want, or is this something that someone else wants that I think I want, but isn't actually going to change anything about how I feel?
Yeah. That's so powerful. I think sometimes we write down things that, like, we'll write down goals that are what other people's expectations are of us or for us, or what we think will impress others, that may have nothing to do with what we actually want for our own life.
Right. And that, so here's the thing. If you start trying to define it and the word should creeps in, I should do this. My therapist always tells me, don't should on yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal advice. Makes me laugh every time he says it. I'm like, no, you're right. Because a should is someone else's value being imposed on you, right? And then you're changing what you think you want based on satisfying something external. And yeah. I think even like a part of what we take people through when we do a dreams workshop, health is one of the components. I see the shoulds come out there all the time. I should work out 3 times a week. I should be healthy, right? You have to find like, is that really a dream? That doesn't seem like a dream to me. If you're like, I should eat healthy every day. The dream might be, you know, I want a body that looks like it did when I was in my 20s. That's a dream. That's the thing I really want. But do I really want to do the things I have to do in order to get it? Tells me how strongly I want that dream. And if the next question is, why do I want that? So my neighbors are like, dang, she's a hottie. No, that's not a good reason. If it's because I want to, well, maybe it is. I mean, maybe if that's what really makes you happy is that your neighbors are all jealous of your hot body, then go for it. I'm not going to judge that. But for me, it's more, I want to be healthy so that by the time I have grandkids, I'm still mobile. I can still play. I'm not worried about falling. It's a different reason, right? That, and I want my husband to stay very attracted to me for the rest of my lifetime. But hopefully some of that's the brain, because at some point the body's going to go.
Oh, well, this has been such a great conversation, Mary. I appreciate every time I get to spend time with you. I feel like I'm better at the end of our conversation. So I want to say thank you for that. And thank you for joining me today. So at the end of each episode, I like to challenge my listeners to do something, to take action, to take bold action. What is something that you would challenge our listeners today to do, to take bold action?
Yeah. In light of our conversation, the challenge would be figure out what your dreams are. If you don't know, it's time to start digging. And then I think as part of that, really identifying, are these really your dreams or are they someone else's, and getting clarity on that.
Beautiful. And what is the best way for people to learn more from you or to connect with you?
Yeah. So I would say come to my website. It is wealthwoman.com. And if you go to the wealthwoman.com/programs page, we actually have a dreams workshop coming up. So if you're inspired by the conversation today and you want to figure out what your dreams are and how to take steps to actively start achieving them on an ongoing basis, you can go to the programs page on the Wealth Woman website. I think it's under the link. If you end up on the front page, then the link actually says ways to work with me. You go on there, you can sign up for the program, and then we will help you figure out what your dreams are.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much for, you know, for providing an opportunity for people to figure out like, what do I really want, and to go deeper with you. And I'm excited for people to get to know you better as well. So Mary, thank you so much again for being here on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'll tell you, it never feels like work when we're hanging out. We might be accomplishing great things, but we're having a good time when we do it. So thank you for being you and for inspiring me.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. All right. Well, listeners, if something today on the show resonated with you, give us some feedback. Share this episode with a sister. Drop me a line at AndreaEngstrom.com. And while you're there, you can reserve a spot in my upcoming masterclass. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, join my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies every week to help you gain clarity, confidence, and make powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life that you desire. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. You are the one who makes your dreams come true. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.